Before we get started, can we pray? Can we bow their heads, please? Father, thank you so much for letting us come into your house. What a privilege it is to be around other Christians and to feel your spirit and to know that he's here. Thank you for your son. Thank you that you sent him to, not only save us, but continually save us. Not just once, Father, but every day. Father, I just thank you that you've done that for us, and I pray that you would do that today, that you would show us that not only we need to know who God is and who Christ is as we connect people to them every day, but that you will show us how we can do that with other people, how we can show them who God is. We thank you for the work you're going to do. Pray all this in your name. Amen. First thing I want to do is I want you to think of someone you know. Close your eyes. I'm checking, too. I was always the checker when we prayed for food. I was the one who kept my eyes open to make sure everyone else's eyes were closed. Even if I wasn't told to do that, I was noble and good enough to do that. Close your eyes. I want you to think of that one person who's in your head who's not a Christian, who doesn't know Jesus, but you really want them to. I think many of us have that person that we've been praying for a long time, and it seems like every time they move a step forward, they move two steps back. Think about that person. Okay, you can open your eyes. Good job closing them. You're going to need to remember that person for the end. What makes a disciple? We've been talking about it these past couple of weeks. We've been going through the list of what we believe are the characteristics of a disciple. If someone says, what is a disciple? You could explain to them these five principles. This is how a disciple lives their life. And last week we talked about, Oh, look at that. It works. We talked about intimacy with God. See, I don't know if you've noticed this yet or not, but all of these are interconnected. If you're not intimate with God and don't know who God is intentionally, you're not going to know when he works. You're not going to know when he's doing things, and you're not going to be able to share those stories with people. You know, if Matt didn't know Christ when he got in his accident, he would have said, oh, what a great thing that happened. He would not have been able to say God is the one who did it if he didn't know God, right? He can't share his grace stories about him. We talked about spiritual giftedness. If we don't know our spiritual gifts and can't go in love and share those gifts to further Christ's kingdom, to grow the church, then we're not disciples. This is what makes a disciple. If something's lacking, then we should ask ourselves, are we really disciples? And the only way you're going to know what your spiritual gifts are is if you're intentional with how you are intimate with God. These are all interconnected. And today we're going to be talking about connecting lives. Connecting lives is very difficult for us. But to be clear, connecting isn't difficult. Here's our bottom line. Connecting lives simply means bringing him to them. It's that simple. Because a lot of people have this idea that everyone in the world, thank you, is looking for God. That they're spending their lives looking for God. But really, I want us to challenge that idea. I want us to really ask, are they looking for God or are they just looking for comfort? Because the Bible says that we are enemies of God from birth. So I find it hard to think that people are looking for God. In reality, Jesus said that he is the one who is seeking. He is the one who's looking. They might not ever end up in here, so we need to bring him to them out there. And that's the main bottom line, main idea. Connecting means to join two or more things together. Now, we know how to do this. I bet if I asked you right now, what is the best NFL team? I don't believe any of you now. I only believe that the Philadelphia Eagles are the best. It's Patriots? Who said Patriots? How about Seahawks? Are the Seahawks good? I think, besides Aaron universally, we have agreed that they are not. What about places to eat around here? Where is the best place to eat in Charlotte? Rosario's? Melvin's Kitchen. And it's open 24 hours a day. If you need the address, just ask him for it. He'll give it to you. It's really great prices. Where's the best place to go to see a movie? Now, see, wait. I thought it was the Epicenter, Studio Movie Grill. I thought that was the best place. But then Aaron introduced me to Starlight Cinema with the leather chairs that recline. When my wife is going away this summer to do training, and I'm thinking about just asking them if I can rent one of those chairs and just stay there and sleep there through the whole week. It's so comfortable. Where's a good place to go to church? Here. Right answer. That was the only one that there was only one right answer. it's so easy. We're so good at connecting people to things, right? I mean, if I ask you those questions, you can easily tell me what's the best football team, where's the best place to eat, where's the place to go to church. We connect people all the times as we communicate with them, and we connect them to places to eat, we connect them to people, we connect them. But why is it such a struggle for us to connect them to Jesus? It seems like, and I'm speaking from what God has convicted me of, because when we first started thinking and praying about this sermon series, Pastor C asked us the question, I want you, it was more like a statement, I want you to choose what God has told you to choose out of these five groups, and I want it to be the one that you're struggling with. So I chose this one, because I am struggling with it. It's hard to connect people with Jesus for some reason. It's not that we don't think about him, it's not that we don't know him, but for some reason, it's just so hard to break through that barrier. It's easier for us to talk about how the Seahawks made that terrible play at the end of the Super Bowl than it is for us to even mention the name of Jesus. I want us to be thinking about that as we're going along. See, the issue isn't that we don't know how to connect. We know how to connect. We do it all the time. Our lives are based out of connection. The issue is that we don't know how to connect him to them. Like I said, the bottom line means connecting lives simply means bringing him to them. If we aren't bringing him, then we aren't connecting lives. We're not connecting lives simply if we bring the NFL team or the food, because those things, while they're exciting, those things pass away. Christ is the only one who remains. So if we're not connecting him, we might as well not even be connecting. This is the issue. Like I said earlier, we know how to connect, but why can't we break through that wall? Well, in law school, they teach us something very important. It's a crucial principle, and it applies to everyone's life. If there is a problem, the way to deal with that problem is not to deal with all the issues that are surround it, but to deal with the root of the problem. If someone is doing something wrong, it is not good enough just to put a Band-Aid on it. If someone is yelling and screaming at the top of their lungs, it's not simply enough to say, "Could you be quiet?" You have to deal with the actual issue. Why are they yelling? So what we're going to talk about today is the root of the source of our problem, this inability for some reason to break through that wall and connect people with Jesus. Because we're not talking about just bringing people to church, though that's something we should do. We're talking about bringing him to them. They may never step foot in a church. And these are the two roots of the problem. That word misinformation, when you see that word, I want you to think of the word apathy. Does anyone know what the word apathy means? Apathy means that you know you should feel a certain way, but don't. I had apathy when I was a child at my grandfather's funeral. We were there, and I loved my grandfather. He was like my father, very close. And I would go to his house almost every day. And I was 8 years old, and he'd come home from the hospital. He had cancer, and they said his cancer was gone. And the next day, he died. They were actually wrong. His cancer wasn't gone. So I was really sad, but I couldn't cry. Everyone around me was hysterical. He was the pillar of our family. And after that, a lot of things started falling apart. But I couldn't cry. I was 8 years old, and I just stood there, and I couldn't do anything. I knew I should cry. I felt like I was supposed to cry. Other people were crying, but I had apathy. I knew what I was supposed to feel, what I was supposed to feel, but I just couldn't do it, and I didn't know why. I think sometimes that's the biggest issue we have as Christians. We know we're supposed to go, but if we're honest with ourselves, we just don't care enough to go. Apathy, misinformation. And that misinformation is because we don't know how we should feel. We don't know if there's a right way to feel about witnessing to people, about going and connecting them with Jesus. And the second source is fear. Fear is way too prevalent in churches. Sometimes we act out of our fear. We need to do this so that that thing doesn't happen. We're afraid of that thing. Or we need to act this way so that that bad thing doesn't happen over there. Fear, unfortunately, drives a lot of our decisions. So we're going to attack that issue too, because that's the second root of the source. The source being, why don't we connect people with Jesus? Information is important. What you know compels you to act. If you know to do something up here, that's the first step. If you never know, you won't know how to act. And it's true in everything, and we learn these things. It's how we feel, though, too. It's not just what we know, but also how we feel. Because you can have information, And you can have it up there, but if it doesn't compel you to feel a certain way, it won't compel you to act a certain way. That's the way information works. So for us to understand how we cannot be apathetic, how we can start caring about people, we need to understand how Jesus felt about them. Because remember, we're Christians, little Christs, and we're his disciple. When a student has a question, he asks his teacher. Because we're disciples of Jesus, we need to ask him. So we're going to read a few verses about that. And once we know how Jesus felt, then we know how we should feel about the people that we should be connecting to him. So we're going to read a few verses. These are some of the ones. I decided that I would just look in Matthew. Okay, what are some, first book of the New Testament, I would just look there and see, how does God react to people when he sees them? Jesus. And I want you to think about these things. As we're reading these passages, and I'll have them up on the screen if you don't have your Bible, I want you to ask yourself, how did Jesus bring himself to them? Bring himself to them, because that's what he was doing. Our task is to bring him to them. But he was bringing himself because he's sufficient. So let's read about that. And remember this too, bringing him to them. Okay, Matthew 9:36. Would someone like to read this for me out loud? Any volunteers? Melinda Klein, who has a wonderful husband. Go ahead. Compassion. If you didn't know, that was the word I wanted to focus on, the bolded word. Compassion. Jesus had compassion on these people. Compassion doesn't just mean that he felt sorry for them. Compassion doesn't just mean that he felt bad for them. It's this idea, a feeling that rises up in your gut. Have you ever seen that? You've seen an image, maybe on Facebook, maybe somewhere else, and the image is of maybe what looks like a bomb exploded, maybe in Pakistan in a school, and you see a mother holding her child who's isn't able to breathe, is severely injured. That feeling that you get when you look at that, that's called compassion. You think, your heart breaks. You think, oh, you can't even speak. It touches you deeply and you want to act. That's what compassion is. That's what Jesus had. The idea in Greek is literally that it rises up from inside of you, like a volcano erupts. That's what compassion is. If you're compassionate, you have to act. Compassion never means sitting in your seat. It forces you to act. You can't not act. And that's what Jesus had. Would someone like to read this verse? Nice and loud. Anyone? Volunteers? All right, Miguel, go ahead.
When he, Jesus, went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick.
Very good. He had compassion on them, and he saw that they were sick, because Jesus' compassion that he had that rose up from inside of him, it didn't just randomly attract and go towards certain things. He had compassion on them and he healed their sick. It forced him to act. His compassion that was inside of him wasn't it. His compassion forced him to act, to heal their sick. Okay, well, someone like to, I'll read this. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowds because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I am unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. What would it be like if when people come to us, or we come to them, if we think in our hearts, I don't want to let you leave without knowing about Jesus? Because people don't know that they're hungry. They know that something's not right, maybe, but they don't know that they're hungry, and they certainly don't know what food will nourish them forever. But we do. The question I have for you is, are we willing to do that? We know how Jesus acted. He had compassion on them. They had been with him for 3 days. And they had nothing to eat, and he wanted to feed them because of his compassion. All right. Would someone like to read this? And I did the King James Version for some people who might not really be comfortable with the other versions. I like the thous and these and thys and those. I said to myself, I know someone in the crowd who's going to Anna Rose. Can you read that aloud for us? Thank you very much. And that's the third principle. The first one was that Jesus' compassion. It was inside of him and it rose up. It forced him to act. And he did act. That's the second point. His compassion forced him to act and he did do it. The third point is very important. And when he acted, people followed him after that. His compassion compelled him to act. And in acting, he made disciples. And they followed him. We only think of the 12 disciples, but do you know that there were hundreds of disciples that followed Jesus at first? And it was because of his compassion and his acts, his works that he did. And that's what happened. They received sight and they followed him. So we know how we feel. Some people might feel like it's a waste. Some people might have that, and I've heard it before. We live in a Christian country. If people don't know about Jesus, it's their own fault. Have you ever heard that before? Our country is Christian. And I would assert to you that our country is just as Christian as the Roman Empire was. That doesn't matter. Our country is Christian. They need to hear about Jesus. It's a very difficult thing, though, because we think, what if they judge me? What if they aren't my friends anymore? What if they treat me badly? We have a lot of feelings about that. But the question I have for you is, how did Jesus feel about that? He had compassion. In one word, in your notes, if you take notes, this would be a good word to underline, circle, highlight, italicize, bold, whatever it is you do. He had compassion that caused him to act. Compassion with action. If you have one without the other, you're wasting your time. If you go and share the gospel of Jesus and connect people with him and you don't have compassion, please stay home. Don't go. It's just like spiritual gifts. If you're not acting out of your spiritual gifts in love, please don't act. The love must be there. The compassion must be there. Because guess what? We always talk about what the world isn't. Let me tell you what the world is. It's good at seeing when someone is a liar sometimes. It's good at smelling out insincerity and hypocrisy. And as Christians, unfortunately, those words tend to follow us where we go. So what we are supposed to do is we're supposed to sincerely bring them, in our compassion, the gospel of Jesus as we connect with them. Now, there's two different things here. It's not just communicating with them. Because I can tell you something, and if I don't connect with you, it can go in one ear and out the other. And that might happen today, even in my preaching. Some people might hear and they might put it out because I don't connect with them. You must connect and communicate. Because if I was standing on a corner and shouting at you, I would communicate to you pretty clearly. But would you ever get anything from it? Would that ever connect? Our job as Christians is not just to communicate, though that's part of it. Our job is to communicate and connect. Communication is usually words. Connection can be lots of things. It can be actions. It can be words. It can be attitudes. These are all forms of connection. We have lots of reasons not to go. One reason cannot be that we are not compassionate. We need to see them how Jesus saw them, because he gave up his ultimate sacrifice, his life, to go. And I don't think any of us will ever be at a place to do that. Maybe we will. We need to have compassion. The second root of the problem is fear. Now, I don't think we need to define what fear is. I think we know it when we see it. Fear is something that compels us to act or not act based entirely off of the circumstances that we're in. Let me give you an example. I'm crossing the street, and I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm fearful. Have you seen the way people drive around here? Like they're in NASCAR? I was driving on 77, and I was just going along, and I'm not exaggerating remotely. An older lady in a very small car had a cowboy hat on her head and was zooming past me and cutting people off. Anna Rose. Was that you, Anna Rose? I thought I recognized her. The other life we don't know about, Anna Rose. And she was just zipping around. I'm fearful because I know that I'm in North Carolina and I know how people drive here, and that forces me not to act, not to cross the road. What we know, that information that we talked about, is what determines how we act. Fear is terrible at preventing us from connecting lives. We have lots of reasons to be afraid. Let me ask you some examples. Why don't you, if we're being honest with each other, which I think is important if we're disciples, I'll tell you one of my reasons first, but then I want to ask you, why don't you connect people with Christ? Think about reasons now. I'll tell you mine. The reason why I struggle connecting people with Christ is I'm afraid that when I tell them that thing, they'll be done with me. They won't want anything to do with me. That will close that bridge, no more crossing, and that'll be the end of our friendship. Does anyone have another reason why we don't connect people with Christ? Something that makes us afraid? Anyone? Because we don't know? Is that what you said? We don't know Christ, or we don't know what to say? We don't know what to say, exactly. That's a big issue, I think. I think that's the big issue. Sometimes we think we don't know what to say because we think we have to have a script. There's an interesting portion in the Bible when it talks about the persecution of Christians, and people were wanting to know, what should we say? What should we say when we go before the governor? You know, and this was a huge issue. This is what the Church of Jesus Christ was built on in the early 1st, 2nd, 3rd centuries, is the blood of the martyrs. People were dying by thousands of Christians. And people wanted to know, what should we say? Do you know what Paul said? Don't think about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit is the one speaking through you. If you plan what you're going to say and it's not from the Holy Spirit, you shouldn't even be talking. Don't think about what you're going to say. The idea is not that we need to have a well-rehearsed script when we approach people. The idea is that we need to approach people and be sincere in doing it. There are lots of things that keep us from it, from sharing the gospel with Jesus, connecting people with Jesus. And it's lots of reasons. Fear is a big one. Not knowing what to do is another one. Another issue for us is that we will be persecuted. We're afraid that we'll be persecuted, that we'll be judged, that people will start, that gossip will spread about us. We have all sorts of ideas about what it means. And then the struggle is, because we have that fear, it drowns out our compassion. We have this compassion inside of us, but that fear seems to keep pushing it down. Oh, these people need Christ, but if I share that with them, if I enter into their life, things are going to get messy. Because really, when we talk about connecting lives, we are not just talking about sharing the gospel, that Jesus died for the sins of the world, was rose from the dead 3 days later and ascended to God and will come back again. We're not just talking about that, though obviously we are. We're talking about going into someone's life with them, which is uncomfortable, which is very uncomfortable. When Melinda and I got married, I made a commitment to be in her life with her, for better or worse, for sickness and health, till death do us part. Lives are really complicated. Going into someone's life means things are going to get messy. Sometimes it would be easy for us just to go and say, Jesus died for your sins. That seems like it's powerful and we need to share it with them. But it seems like that would be easy for us. But coming to them and saying, do you have any questions about Jesus? Questions mean that they need answers and we might not have them. So in order to overcome that fear, to overcome those reasons and excuses, because they are just excuses. I mean, think about it. If you weigh the pros and cons to sharing the gospel, to connecting someone with Jesus, think about it. Okay, they could judge you, they could stop being your friend, and they could be mean to you, and they could gossip about you. On one side, we have that. If you don't tell them, what could happen? They could never know Christ. They could never know him. They could spend eternity separated from him, eternity starting now. Remember, because we have this idea that if you aren't saved, you'll be punished eventually. Let me tell you that if you are not with Christ, if he is not in your life, if you're not intimate with him, the suffering starts right now. You spend your whole life suffering. It doesn't just begin when you die. Those are all fears that we have. It seems kind of harsh. Some people say, that seems kind of harsh. Which is more harsh? That or knowing that and not telling people about Jesus? Which is harsher? These are all excuses. So we're going to use some skills. We're going to learn some practices that we can employ to help us connect people with Jesus. Because I think Dan hit it right on the nail, right on the head. We don't know what to say, it feels like. We feel afraid. And as I mentioned before, I want you to understand, God says go. God didn't say go into all the world and preach the gospel. Manual will follow. I will send you a manual via postal service. I will send you the right facts, the information. I'll make you relevant. He just said go, not stay. That's why it's about connecting him with them. If Jesus said stay, it would just be about connecting them with him. They would come to us. We would sit in the church. People would come through and we'd say, let me tell you about Jesus. They have come to him. Nope. Go means we have to go to them. And that's what we're called to do. So we're going to combat our fears and insecurities through pause. P-A-W-S-S. It's an acronym. This dog has nothing to do with this, but I knew that there would be at least half the audience that would think this dog is cute. Let me tell you, let me give you a testimony. Dogs are evil. I have two of them. They look like this, and then they start throwing up. They start using the bathroom. They start eating food. They start ripping up your brand new leather satchel, leather suitcase that your wife got you for Christmas. That may have been a little too personal. That's what happened. And compassion doesn't happen at that point. You just want to kill them where they lay right there. Pause. And this is what it stands for. Pause is prayer, action, worship, speaking. And here is a big point. If you take notes, this would be a great time to write this stuff down. Underline this, circle it. Sincerity. Sincerity. Pause. And the reason I misspelled pause, because as you probably have noticed, pause has usually one S, is because of that word, sincerity. And we're going to focus on that at the end there. Prayer. If you're not praying and being intentional in your intimacy with God about who you should tell, about what you should tell, whose lives you should connect with, meaning who should you come alongside and say, I want to be your friend. And that's your motive, is that they would know you, and in knowing you would know Christ. If you're not intimate with him, they're never going to know Christ through you. They're not going to see him because you're not intimate with him. Prayer is essential. Praying, God, who do you want me to talk to today? Who do you want me to help today? And who is going to help me today? Prayer is essential. Action. Action. It's not just praying, because I know many people who pray. It's easy to pray. It's going. We have to act. We can't just stay in our church, even though it's lovely. We can't just stay in our homes. We can't just stay in our Christian friend circles. We can't just stay in our life groups. And we can't just stay in our Christian camps. We can't just stay in our women's fellowships. We can't just stay in our youth fellowships. We have to go to them, because a lot of them will not end up in any of those groups. We have to go. We have to act. And that involves moving. The W stands for worship, because worship is not just singing, as you know, which is awesome. Worship is acting. It's saying, this is who God is. This is who I am. And in knowing that I am humbled before him, I will act according to what he has called me to do because I love him. That's worship. We need to do it in worship. If we don't connect lives through prayer, if we don't connect lives through our actions, and if we don't connect lives through worship, we're not connecting lives. I mean, speaking. Some people say I like to speak a lot. I knew she was going to laugh. And those people aren't here. The ones who say I like to speak a lot, they're not in this room right now. Speaking. It's not just speaking, though. Remember, we talked about earlier connecting lives. We talked about connecting people with different places to eat, different NFL teams, you know, even if the connections are not the best connections, like the Seahawk connection. We've talked about all these things. It's not just speaking, though. It's speaking truth into their life. And it's not just saying the Christian answer when we speak. You know, if someone dies and a person is grieving, speaking, I know exactly how you feel. Do you know exactly how they feel? I don't think you do. Maybe you've been in a similar situation, but I don't think you know exactly how they feel. Speaking means using our minds and our hearts and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to show us what we should say, and very importantly, when we should shut up. That's speaking. The last one is sincerity. Pause. Sincerity. And it has a lot to do with speaking. If we say something that we don't believe, they'll know that. They'll know that. If we tell them that God loves them and we don't feel like it that day, maybe we should say, you know, I know God loves me, but some days I don't feel like it. It's being honest. It's being sincere. Because I can tell you for a fact, because I lived this life when I was younger, I was in a ministry where we would go into inner cities and we would tell the gospel to these children. Sincerity doesn't just mean telling the gospel of Jesus in a sincere way. It means meeting the needs that you might not think of, but that the Holy Spirit has revealed to you through discernment. Sincerity. Pause. We know, and this is something we know because we talked about it, that as disciples, if we are going to connect lives with Jesus, we need to do it out of compassion and without fear. Out of compassion and without fear. Maybe you don't have compassion today. I can't give it to you. The Holy Spirit can. So pray that God will make you compassionate for those who are lost. Because that's the call of a disciple when he connects lives, or she connects lives. And without fear. So let's do it. I thought maybe people would think, and because this is one of the struggles for me, that one of the big issues in not connecting lives is that we don't know what to say. We get a little bit worried, a little bit scared, and we think, no, I won't say that. They might say this. We don't really know what to say. Because this is a safe environment, and maybe there are some here who are not Christians, and that's okay. We're so glad you're here today, because we wanted to let you know that God has compassion for you, even if you don't have compassion for yourself. Maybe right now you're in a place in your life, Christian or not Christian, and you think, I don't know why God would love me, because I don't see anything in myself that makes me think that he should. Let me tell you something. God doesn't love us out of our goodness. He loves us out of his goodness. He loves you because that's who he is. He is love. He can't not love you. He always does. And maybe if you needed that word today, that's great. But we need to share this idea. We need to share connecting lives with people. They need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And more, and not just that. They also need to have us come alongside. It can't just be. Because one thing that I've discovered is if you're a Christian and people know it, when you befriend them, the first thing they think of is, this person is just trying to get me saved. they're only being my friend. I've had people say to me, I want to be good friends, but if your idea is just to proselytize, if your idea is just to get me saved, for me to cry and go to a cross, I am not going to do that. I am not going to be your friend if that's your purpose. Does that mean we shouldn't share the gospel with them? Does that mean we shouldn't come alongside them because they've already shut that door? Well, that wouldn't make a whole lot of sense, because in Revelation we learn about Jesus knocking. Because he's the one seeking, not us, remember? We're just going. So we're going to be talking about this. So let's do some things here. This is what I need you to do. It's going to be a little bit uncomfortable, but we're going to get over it, I'm sure. We can make it. We're strong. I know you. I know that you have been in very uncomfortable places in your life, and I know this is going to be a little bit uncomfortable now, but I promise the comfort you feel or don't feel right now will change the way you feel later when you actually have to share Jesus with someone, when you get that blessing. So I need you to get in groups of two, no more than two. And here's what your group should be made up of. Someone who's not your age. Now it has to be two of these three things, any of these two things, right? Someone who's not your age, someone who's not your gender, and someone who's not your ethnicity, in groups of two. Now it can be someone who's not your age and not your gender, that's two. It can be someone who's not your gender and not your race, your ethnicity, that's two. But I want you to pair off in those groups, and I'll give you about a minute to do that, and then I'll explain what's happening next. All right. Okay, bringing it back in right now. This is good that you're communicating. You're going to do a lot of communicating very, very soon. Now, before we get started, I want to just be clear about what we're doing. What we're not doing is learning a script. Can I have everyone's attention? We're not learning a script. I'm not going to give you words to say, so you can write down, and when you meet that person in the mall, and they're standing behind you at Starbucks, you're going to go, oh. Hello. May I share with you Jesus? Please don't. So this is just about breaking down this barrier of insecurity, of feeling uncomfortable talking to other people about Jesus. That's all this is about. And these are, many of the people around you, I'm sure, are Christians, so this is probably the best place to do it, right? So our first scenario is this, and what's going to happen is you're going to play roles in your groups. This is what happens. You're at work, or school, or, I don't know, billiards, whatever it is you do, and someone asks you how your weekend was. Someone asks you how your weekend was. What is your response? Now, work this out in your groups, and there are no right answer. There's no one right answer, but there probably are some wrong answers. I don't know. You decide. So we're going to be doing that now. So one of you needs to be the person who asks about the weekend, and the other person needs to be the one who responds, okay? So I'll give you a minute to do that now, and then we're going to discuss it. Remember to connect lives. All right, everyone back? Let's discuss it. All right, I need a volunteer. I need one group to volunteer to tell me how the conversation went. What was talked about? Someone other than my wife, because I hear her all the time. Anyone? Nice. Anybody brave enough? No? Okay. No one's brave enough? Go ahead.
Well, Shin and I just talked about, we didn't exactly role play, but we just talked about what we do. People ask us that all the time at our job. And I work at a Christian school, so my answer's really easy. But for him, he works at a coffee shop. But he always mentions, when they say, how was your weekend? Wait, what? Wait, how's that supposed to go? Is he supposed to ask more?
Either way.
Okay, well, he always mentions, I had church this weekend. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that can be, exactly, and that can be enough, because then when that time comes, maybe you two just see each other, you're at work and someone, you're not really good friends with that person, and you say, oh, well, I went to church this weekend, spent time with my wife. Now they know, this person is religious, at least they know that. So if the conversation does come up, you could say, oh, I mean, I go to church.
Yeah, and I think
that's something I do.
How often do we see broken marriages? Just to say, I spent time with my wife, is telling a person that you enjoy spending time with your spouse, and that automatically puts you on a different level.
Right. Exactly. No, right. And that's something, and that's part of what it means to connect lives with Christ. It means to go and to show them who Christ is. And St. Francis Assisi, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, he said this great quote, which is, and I'm probably going to butcher it, but let me see if I can remember it. He said, go and share the gospel, and if necessary, use words. And it's this idea that our actions and the way that we behave and the way that we govern our behavior and our lives shows who it is we follow. Who is our master if we're disciples? Very good. Okay, next. Excellent. Let's go on to the next scenario. This one is a little bit more uncomfortable. You're in line at Starbucks or Caribou, and obviously you're surrounded by sinners. Isn't that right, Shin?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Who have a terrible, terrible demon of oppression on them from that caffeine. And you're there, and you're surrounded by them, and you don't know the person standing behind you. How do you start a conversation, and what do you say? This is really tough. Okay, I need a volunteer. Who would like to volunteer? Who would like to volunteer? Dan is volunteering. All right, Dan. What happened? You're sitting in a line, you're standing in line at Starbucks or Caribou. Which is your favorite, Starbucks or Caribou?
Starbucks.
Wow. Wow. So you go where the sinners are. That's exactly what Jesus did. Right. That's right. And you're there, and there's a person standing behind you, someone just waiting to get their coffee, and what do you say? Do you say anything? That's it. That's all you say? How can you connect them? That seems very real. I can imagine you saying that. Man, these people are slow. I can see that. How can you in any way, shape, or form connect that person with Jesus? In any little way, even. Because who knows what their life is like? Who knows? And
like, wait for the rapture.
All right. Interesting. Interesting. And we laugh at that, but maybe that person will be like, what? What do you mean? Or maybe they'll be a Christian. You can encourage them that way. Remember, connecting lives isn't just connecting people who aren't Christians with Jesus. This is connecting lives, everyone's life to Jesus. Disciples need to be connected to Jesus too, right? Remember that person I asked you to think about at the very beginning? Do I need to say anything about that? This person needs Christ. Think about it this way. If you don't tell them, who is going to tell them? And I'm not just saying telling them the gospel. Who's going to come alongside them, enter their life, and willingly and truly say, what can we do? What can I do? Because it's one thing to say, God bless you. It's another thing to do something so that it's visible to them that God is blessing them. Remember that person? So the thing I want to leave you with in closing, the Christian church in the U.S. is being kind of put to shame around the world by these other groups in China and other countries where many people are coming to know Christ because they're connecting them to Jesus. It's not because there are more Christians in the U.S. that we shouldn't go and tell people about Jesus, even though we're in the Bible Belt, because people define Christian as being a good person. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. So that definition isn't really applicable anymore. But for us as a church this week, because we're disciples, because we're intimate with God, because we see God at work in our grace stories, because we know our spiritual gifts and we know how God has gifted us in showing love to the world, and because we now know that neither fear nor misinformation can drive us to connect people with Jesus, that love is the one that does it. Compassion specifically. We need to do three things this week. You have three pieces of homework. One, we need to repent. We need to repent. There's been such a great number of Christians for so long, even down here, and yet it seems like no one knows Christ. So we have not been doing what God has called us to do. And that should make us feel sorrowful, and we should come to a place of repentance, which means seeing what God says and doing it and turning away from that other thing that we did, which is called fear. That's the first thing. The second thing we need to do is we need to practice what we did here today. Practice it in a sincere way, doing what God has called us to do in sincerity, not going with any pretenses or forethoughts, not going and saying, this is what I will say, but going knowing that the Holy Spirit is going to use you to connect that person to Jesus. Go knowing that and then be surprised to see how God does it. Be intentional. The third thing we need to do is we need to pray before we act. Be praying throughout the week about that person that you remember I told you to think about at the beginning of the service. Do you remember them? Pray about them. Pray about how you can connect them with Jesus. Because if we're disciples, we're called to be intimate with God. We're called to have grace stories. We're called to know our spiritual gifts and use them. And we're called to make disciples. That's what connecting lives is all about, making disciples for Jesus.